Hello, and welcome back to the Double Take podcast with Jess and Jenny, where we give our takes on all things TV. Today is a good old-fashioned TV catch-up episode. Jess and I have been watching a lot and haven't really talked at all about the new shows that are out and about in the world. Also, happy post-Super Bowl. I don't know if we want to talk about sports on our podcast, but I'll at least put it in there.
Is it happy? I'm not really like the most pleased that the Chiefs won. Not that I have a huge stake in the game.
Oh, everyone that I was talking to, including Carter, but like truly everyone that I know was sort of like, yeah, it's a bummer that both teams can't lose. That was sort of the going, like that would be the outcome that people would most like.
I really don't care about either team in terms of like a personal emotional level. It's just like, I don't like when a team wins all the time. Because, like, well, that is that, like, it's just the human nature of, like, wanting an underdog to win. I very much feel that. I have no other reasonable, like, cares or emotions about either team. And I didn't watch the whole thing, if we're being honest. I watched a movie for the first bit.
I was probably the move. I did watch the whole thing, but mainly I was just sort of talking to my friends. So I don't know if you can call it watching, but I thought the halftime show was Usher. That's all I thought about it. I thought, hey, that happened. I liked some of it, but I wasn't blown away by anything football or halftime show related. Nor was I blown away by any of the commercials, I will say.
I don't think I knew Usher still performed. Was that news to everyone?
Oh, no, I definitely knew, but that's because I have one former roommate whom I follow on Instagram, who like really loves Usher, and she has gone to at least two performances of his in the last 2 years. And so, and like posts about it. Yeah. So I knew that he was still around and she was having a great time. So I'm happy for her.
Okay. I'm glad someone was. I'm glad someone is his fan still. I mean, I used to like him a lot. I literally did not know that he was still relevant in any sort of way. I didn't watch the halftime show. I was alone. I feel like if I had people, like you said, like you just sort of do it as a social event. Unless you care about the teams, like you just hang out. And because I was alone, I was like, what if I watched Anatomy of a Fall? And that's a 2.5 hour movie. So I really missed a lot.
Dang.
In terms of the commercials, I just figured like I'd see the good ones. Like with TikTok, you see all the good moments. Like I'm seeing the halftime show moments that I missed. I'm seeing the Taylor moments that I missed. Like I was like, I don't need to sit here and watch this for the clips. I'm going to get the clips tomorrow.
The highlight reel. Yeah. One thing in the halftime show that I was like, ooh, is when Alicia Keys came on and they did a little snippet of My Boo. And I was like, you could have done the whole song. That would have been happy. I would have been. That was like a very good throwback for me.
Oh my God, I haven't thought about that song in ages, and now all I want to do is listen to it.
That's what I'm saying. And they cut it off like right at the point, like after the ma oh ma oh ma, and then they were going to go back into like Started When We Were Young, and then they just switched songs, and I got very upset. But it's okay.
I'm literally bopping right now in my brain, just singing along in my head. Everyone. Oh, we could talk about briefly, I have thoughts and I haven't been able to share them with anyone. The Wicked trailer. Can we talk about the Wicked trailer?
I haven't seen it, but yes, we can talk about it because you could tell me your thoughts and then I can.
What?
I know. I'm sorry.
This is the problem with you watching the thing with friends around is you guys weren't actually watching all the commercials. They put the trailer in one of the commercials.
Okay, I swear I did not notice that.
Less interesting than for me to just say words.
Well, I know who's in it. I'm.
Well, I know. We've known for a while, right? Like the casting, and I've had all these opinions. Primary opinion, why is it a two-parter? Absolutely could be, especially with the length of movies these days, like just make it a 2.5 hour movie. I don't want two parts. And I know that it's a commercial decision and not like fully a structural decision, but it makes me mad. And also I find it weird. I just don't think that that's necessarily the right move for this story even. Like it doesn't, to me, it doesn't lend itself super well to two parts anyway.
Yeah, fully agree.
Regardless, that was my opinion going into it. But the trailer specifically, you should watch it. I actually got like a little excited. I can't lie. Okay. I thought it looked so spectacular.
That's exciting.
Production design wise. And in my head, I just was picturing, I was so like grounded in the stage show, which is great, but they don't do, it's not crazy over the top with the special effects.
No.
It's always like a good set. It's like good, you know, they do what they can on stage, but I wasn't picturing like what they could really do in a movie in terms of production design, and it just looks so good.
That's like all okay. This is a comment that doesn't really totally match yours, but I recently watched the Avatar: The Last Airbender like Netflix trailer, and I had a very similar thought, but like opposite reaction. Like I got less excited for the Avatar: The Last Airbender live action, but I acknowledged it is so cool to see. I mean, that started as a drawn world, and that like you could do so many things in an animated world, but it is really cool to see that sort of with new special effects, how it could look like a fantastical countries and like castles and all of these things sort of blown up to look as though in their real life. And that's the only thing that I'm excited about for Avatar The Last Airbender, and like everything else live action about it seems like it'll be sort of a flop. But for Wicked, which obviously was not animated originally, that's exciting. But yeah, like I love the idea of kind of stepping into the world that you have in your mind because of what was on the stage, like that you sort of built what it might look like and then someone has realized it in a really exciting way. So I'll have to go watch the trailer.
Yeah, that's what was really cool to me about it. Still, I have my reservations.
Sure.
I have plenty of fears.
I want to go back to the two-parter. There are plenty of long things. I mean, I know they would not have done this with Wicked, but the only time that I think that that is appropriate is when it's actually aired one after the other and there's an intermission between. Like, there are a lot of straight-to-TV movies, I feel, that I had on VHS as a kid, that there were two parts, like you had to have two VHS tapes or like two discs because it was so long, but you would view them one after the other. Or like if they were shown in theaters, they would be shown, you'd all have an intermission, almost like I think that'd be cool if they did that in movie theaters, where you would go and then actually as though you were seeing a show, like have a break to go to the bathroom, go get more concessions. I don't know why they wouldn't do that. I mean, I guess like you're saying, money, like get people in twice, but I think that would be a better experience for everyone and like kind of exciting. No one's done that in my recent memory, made like a movie theater experience.
No, even when they should, even when the movie is 3.5 hours long.
Yeah. Everyone would like a little intermission.
I don't know that I would, but I do feel like a 2.5 hour movie would have been just fine for this. I get like, okay, the stage show is approximately 2.5 hours long with an intermission, I assume. It feels like every musical is 2.5 with an intermission.
Yeah.
Not that I know off the top of my head, but it does feel very slightly rushed. Every time I see the stage show, I'm like, oh, we just zoomed past a lot of character development. Like, I get that feeling having seen the show a few times. But I feel like they can do more in the movie that they don't actually need two different parts. And they're going to end part one right at Defying Gravity, that's where they end act one, ? I haven't seen the show in a year or two. Or it's like very close to where they end part one. But I just don't think, just because it's two parts on stage doesn't mean two movies. I don't know. It's how I feel right now, but maybe I'll feel differently when I see part one. And I hope that they don't rip out a ton of songs. That's the other thing with the trailer that I was nervous about, because the trailer did the Mean Girls thing where it like barely had the songs in it. It doesn't really at all. It has the like little, I don't know, one of the runs like of Defying Gravity is sort of like in the end where like there's like dialogue and then they just have that sort of over the like title page. And yeah, I'm feeling a little nervous about that, but I have to assume that they've left in most of the songs. I mean, even Mean Girls, like the songs weren't in the trailer at all. They still left in like at least half of the songs. So I'm not like super nervous that they've cut all the songs that I like. But again, it's like, it's very confusing to me that they're marketing all of these things like they're not musicals, especially Wicked, which unlike Mean Girls has never been a movie. Yeah. Like I was going to say, it's never been anything else, but it was a book. But yeah, it's a musical first and foremost, or the book, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes. I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. I will reserve my final judgment till I actually see the trailer and also the movie. But What else? What TV have you been watching lately that we could talk about?
Oh, a few things, but primarily I watched all of One Day this weekend.
As did I.
And yeah, I thought maybe you did too. We could talk about it. I figured we could get into spoilers with it, though, if we wanted to leave it towards the end and have people who haven't seen it yet drop off, and we could do other things non-spoilery first. Did you watch the new Abbott?
I did. I did watch the new Abbott, the new super episode of what was it, Career Day?
Yes. I have many thoughts. Mostly, though, just that I'm so happy that it's back. I'm so happy to be back with these characters. I love like a heartwarming sitcom where you just like literally feel like it's they're your pals. And putting it on, it's like, oh yeah, there's Barbara, there's Janine, like here's my gang.
Yeah, I also am happy to be back. Don't get me wrong, I liked it fine. I'm excited for the rest of the season. I didn't love this first episode though. I thought it was more gimmicky than I was prepared for. Maybe gimmicky is the wrong word. But all of the like explanations of where the camera crew was or has been for the past 5 months, there were like a lot of explanatory things, like little bits that they did that I didn't need because I was like, I don't remember. Like, it's fine. Just keep going. I don't know if I was the only one who felt that way.
Maybe. I was trying to figure out the timeline because I thought it was like each season is a school year. So like, obviously we don't see people. And I guess in this case, it wasn't the beginning of the school year. Oh, you know what? Duh. It's because the production got pushed and this is February, they're actually like aligning it with what time it actually is in the year. So they're, oh, it was trying to explain why they weren't starting at the beginning of the school year. You're right. I didn't need them to do that. I honestly like didn't even, I don't expect my shows to be aligned with like the actual time it is in the year, like for it to be February in the show and February in real life, like doesn't even occur to me to the point where I didn't even get that joke until this moment.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, I get it. I get that we're in, I guess you didn't get that we were in February, but I got that we were now just because of, or like, I got that we were at least a little bit into school just because of how they were all acting. And then they did a flashback. Like that was the other thing. They did do a flashback and then they had the security camera footage of Janine. And why can't I? I'm just going to call him Chris, but that's not his name. Gregory, in their little like awkward moment 5 months ago or so. And so I was like, oh, we didn't even need an explanation of why like the cameras weren't there. We already had all of the story from before and then like a little bit in the middle and directly after. So that part was just like, all right, I'm excited to get past this and then just like get going into the episode. I really liked the Eagles that showed up. I thought that was very cute on the Zoom call.
Oh, I thought that was maybe going to be, I feel like before we continue, I guess we should just say that obviously these are spoilers, I guess. I mean, I feel like sitcoms are kind of like whatever, but if you haven't watched the episode yet and you don't want to know what's in it, skip to our next topic. We'll put the chapters in the show notes. Because we are just going to say what happens in this episode because I want to say.
Yeah. I was going to say I was going to leave out that, but I guess we can say, yeah, go for it.
Well, yeah, because I want to talk about it more. Well, I didn't really like necessarily the Eagles a bit. I don't know. I feel like sometimes it's a little too like, look what we got for the show. And I like the Philly references so much. But like when you do that sort of like stunt cameos, they can never act. It's always a little awkward. All I can think about when I watch it is like the actual filming of it. I just think about like how they tried to get this person to act and how uncomfortable it feels. I don't love it.
Yeah, I totally see that. For whatever reason, for this, I just liked the like, if we're going to do spoilers, I liked the aside. I found it gimmicky until Jalen tried to help with a proposal. And then like the other two, like Jason, I can't remember who the other person was, came in and they're like, you got to stop doing this. Like you got to stop saying yes when people ask you to help them propose. I thought that was just cute. But I feel like the other bits of it could have been shortened a little bit.
It was cute. I'm not trying to be a hater. I know I sound like one. I just – it takes me out of it in a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I had qualms with other parts of it. So you're not – if you're a hater here, I am equally a hater. But neither of us are haters. We both like the show, so we can move past
that. No, I love the show. I do have – I have the thoughts, though, maybe different from what you said. You said you didn't love the episode. I have nerves. I have nervousness about the season based on this episode. And it's just that it's doing the thing I hate when my shows do. And by my shows, I mean these heartwarming comedies. When they remove a character and they put them in a different setting, it's never my favorite. I don't like when they removed – when Jim went to a different office. I don't like when – I was going to say when Jess was sequestered. But honestly, that was a pretty decent season of New Girl. It just – it's not that it's always bad. It's just that it changes the dynamic so much because the ensemble is the show. And yeah. The ensemble works best when everybody's in the same place they always are, and they have the same habits that they normally have. And with Janine out of the school, I'm a little scared. I don't love that. But I have faith that they'll bring it around successfully. I'm just not enthused right now.
Yeah, that didn't bother me, or that warning bells didn't go off immediately, just because of how much they baked into this new position that she has, that she will be at Abbott pretty frequently. So it doesn't seem like you were saying, the other sitcoms who have removed characters, it's not like they're an entirely new place and we don't get their interactions with the whole cast like we have in previous seasons. Like, it seems like, yeah, Janine has a different role, but she will be back in the same group of people pretty frequently. At least I'm hoping, based on how they set that up.
Yeah, there's not like a secondary location. So maybe it'll just be like a new group of people, but they're still all at Abbott all the time, which I'm okay with if that's just the way that they're introducing like new side characters. Not that there was really that much to like about the side characters yet. I could say more about that, but I don't need to if you don't have thoughts. But yeah, I see what you're saying. It could be fine. It made me a little nervous. And the Janine and Gregory thing, obviously, I have thoughts about that.
That's the other thing is I feel like they did a lot in this episode that I didn't think was necessary. Like, we already had not cliffhanger, but they like, okay, well, we know that Gregory and Janine are still have feelings for one another, but they've sort of put it on pause. And then they flipped it somewhere in this episode. Like, they had it so that, okay, well, Gregory's now gotten over it, but now it's Janine that is not over it. And we already knew that. It's like they needed something to happen in this first episode, but I don't think it was necessary. I think we had enough tension from the last season to carry us through into whatever they were going to do in this season. So I was a little disappointed in that they like brought it back up again.
I just thought it was weird that we skipped all of that. And I get like this season's only going to have like 13 or 14 episodes or whatever it is instead of like 22. But I didn't want to feel like, oh, I missed 8 episodes. Here's what happened in those 8 episodes. Like, yeah. I didn't expect them to do that like that. And so I thought we were going to get the development more naturally than like, oh, here's what happened. Here's what the new status is with Janine and Gregory. Like, why do I have to feel like the time passed and I wasn't there? Why not just pretend like we're picking right back up where we were?
Yeah, exactly. That is it. That's exactly what I mean. They didn't need to add another twist and be like, oh, but that was back then. Now you're caught up. The exact same way that they did, like, oh, well, we lost the footage because our camera crew got, I don't know, like they were around in West Philly and their stuff got stolen. I just like that was too much information that it just kind of muddied everything for me.
I think it's got to just be like a first episode thing and all of these things will feel right next week. I do agree, though, that like I don't love the way they handled the gap.
The other thing that I didn't love about this episode was how they made a principal becoming more of a principal almost like an issue of deprogramming. Like the way that they were able to get her to not care anymore was just by playing a song. That was the whole thing the whole time. Like it was just such a weird B plot, C plot of the show. I don't like this. I liked at first, like, she's the new enemy, but it's not because she's bad at her job. It's because she's actually good at her job. I just didn't like that they were like, oh, all we had to do was play, what was it? Like, Get Low? No, not Get Low. Some song. that
I can't remember.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, it's like a weird, like, oh, she was hypnotized, but she's not. She went to this school and she was excited about the fact that she was like, was on Harvard's campus and like had learned about being a principal. And I don't think that would have gone away just because she remembered that she liked like hip hop rap music. Anyway.
No, that's where I'm like, I'm not going to nitpick the jokes. Like, I had fun with it. The only thing I thought was like odd feeling was the time jump. I don't feel the same way about that. I thought it was cute. It made me giggle when Janine was like, oh, did you think about playing this? And they were like, how did you know that? Like, that made me laugh.
I
enjoyed the episode.
That was fine. It made me think of ways that I would have done a similar joke, but differently. But we don't need to get into that. But yeah, those were little things. And I think as the season goes on, it'll pick back up in the same, like the whole ensemble comedy is, like you said, what makes it. And I think as they get back into their groove, writing and acting and just like everything will come back together and be fun. So overall, still excited.
The thing with Janine and Gregory that is weird, though, also, not just that time passed and we have to be filled in. They're basically back at square one, and it's season three, and I think that that's okay. I can't help but compare it to all the other, you know, will they, won't they relationships of all the other sitcoms, and it's like, okay, like in The Office, Jim and Pam finally get together. Very end of season three is a lot of will they, won't they in the first few seasons. New Girl, Nick and Jess get together in season two, but then they're broken up by season three. And then, mm-hmm. Wow, I just realized if people haven't seen these shows, that's okay. Everybody knows that these things happen. These can't be spoilers. Although I did trail off and I won't say more in terms of what happens in New Girl, just in case, I guess. But mm-hmm. Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine season three, Jake and Amy. So I still have to feel like something is going to happen with the two of them this season. And at this point, the fact that it's just been like, oh, they won't, they will, they won't, they will, is like not my favorite way to do the will they, won't they. It's feeling like a little less natural, but I'm hoping that this season gives us like the actual sort of end of that, because there's something about this jump in this episode and the like reversal, like you said, rubbed me the wrong way in terms of the two of them and their arc. And I was looking forward to a more natural, like, oh, they talked about getting together potentially at the end of the last season. Like, let's see how that plays out.
Right.
And because we didn't get to see it play out, we just get told like what happened. I'm feeling unhappy a little bit, just a little bit. I'm still very happy about the show, but I had just a little bit of discontent.
Yeah, I mean, I would give this episode 2.5 stars. And I am not saying that I think I will give this season 2.5 stars, but it was fine. It was very much exactly in the middle of 5 stars for all of the reasons that you are saying, because I'm worried about how like Janine and Gregory will go, but also for all of the other reasons, the weird construction of and producing of explanations that I didn't think needed producing, and like weird jokes. I know you didn't ask for my rating, but that's I gave it a relatively low. Yeah, it wasn't my fave.
I'm surprised that you gave up a rating so freely. I didn't even ask you for one. That's not like it's not like you.
Right before we caught on this call, I went on Serialized and put my rating in because I was like, ooh, I'm worried people are going to be mad at me, but that's okay. It's fine. It's not the whole season. It's just one episode. I didn't think this was the best episode.
I think it's okay to be slightly critical. I do feel bad like nitpicking one episode, especially when coming back from the strikes has to be hard. Coming back from the strikes, coming into a shortened season, knowing that you had a whole – I mean, they had to have had – Quinta had to have had this arc written out, at least like outlined. And then it's like, oh, just kidding. It's just half the length.
Cut it.
So
yeah.
I'm just making space in this episode for us to give a little bit of grace while admitting it was not our favorite. And I have full faith that I will love the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm still optimistic for sure.
It's certainly not a Ted Lasso season 3 situation.
No, I not agree. Yet. Not yet. Hopefully at least not never. Yet. Don't jinx it like that. God.
Okay, what's next?
I don't think you watched either of these, but maybe you have already. There are not that many episodes out. But have you seen any of Genius or Feud, the new docudramas, both based on, like, both biographical docudramas that came out last week?
I have not seen Genius. I don't really plan to watch Genius, especially after your review. Sorry, I Genius. Did see the first two episodes of Feud, and we could talk about it. I know you wrote about it.
Yeah.
It was fine. I have no real interest in going back to it, although I probably will just to see how it continues. Yeah. But my feelings pretty much matched yours, I think.
Yeah. Which, for anyone who didn't read the newsletter last week, it was started off with an interesting premise, and then it felt like it went too quickly. The first episode seemed like it was setting up a lot of intrigue. There was a lot of possibility for, like, backstabbing and revenge, and then, like, trying to get on people's good side. And then episode 2 was almost like, all that's already happened, here's the fallout. And then there are, what, 6 more episodes after that, and it seems like there's nowhere to go but continuing down a bummer spiral of just like, well, Truman Capote, which we didn't even say what this is about, my bad. This season of Feud focuses on Truman Capote and a group of socialites that he was friends with, and then used their stories and their confidence in him to write what was the start of a book, but wound up being essentially an article and then a book that he never finished because his former friends and the socialites cut him out of their group. And he went into a depressive episode and essentially never finished a full-length novel ever again. So this series is based on that part of his life. And so there's a lot of interest in that. Like, that's – Truman Capote was one of the great writers of that time. And having this story is something that I felt like I would be interested in seeing. But the execution was just like, oh no, this is going to be a bummer for the next 6 episodes. Tom Hollander as Truman Capote is a really good actor and acts like drunk and sad and belligerent and like self-loathing really well. But I don't want to see that for like 6 hours. It's not as interesting to me.
I think Tom Hollander is doing a really excellent job. And yet I cannot stand the voice. It's like, if you're doing Truman Capote, if you're doing it really well, I'm displeased because because if you look at interviews, like, that is so – Tom Hollander is nailing it. It's not that it's a bad accent or a bad – or affectation. It's he's doing a very truthful affectation, and I hate it. I'm like, I can't watch 8 hours of this. But that's how I felt watching the movie too. Like, it's just – if you're doing it well, which is Philip Seymour Hoffman – is that – that's who that – who did that one, right? It's grating. And no, absolutely no hate to Tom Hollander. It's just kind of like an unfortunate. No, really. But you know what, really, what I was going to say was, I think the movie does a better job. And I it's not like I knew Truman Capote personally. So maybe it's not that it did a better job of capturing Capote's real essence. But in terms of the writing, from what I've gathered, the movie and just, I don't know, books, whatever, Truman Capote was very, very like cutting. His humor was, it was always sharp. He was witty. He was sort of like, I guess sardonic might be the right word. And I'm not getting that in this version. I'm getting like sort of like lazy mean. And I don't think that's quite right. Or if it is right, it's not as interesting to watch.
I agree with you. I almost think, though, it's because of where they're choosing to almost start the story. We get so little of him before he's in his like depressive spiral, where he is like, when he can be cutting at all, it's more just mean. It's just mean and like not that sharp, not that witty. And I think perhaps if there were more episodes like the first one and we got more of like the pre-fallout, we might get more of that you're talking about, like more of that sardonic, the like actually why people liked him. Because right now they're just asking us to take it on faith. Like, oh, no, people like really liked having him around. He was the life of the party. And yeah, like to you and me, I'm like, he just seems annoying and mean. Like, I don't really get it why they were letting him into their lives in the first place.
Yeah, he seems so unlikable. And it's so crazy to watch, like, Naomi Watts' character being like, he was my best friend. And you're like, I see no evidence that you should have liked this person even a little bit. And again, like, maybe some of that is more realistic than believable. And we're just supposed to take that. It's a TV show. You can change things. It doesn't have to be realistic. And the way it is not believable to the point where I'm not buying any of the characters or their decisions. It's very bizarre in that way. But I think what you wrote in your review that I really agreed with was the way that they're jumping around between time frames and telling the story. I mean, erratically jumping between parts of the story, to the beginning to like the very, very end, and then back and back and back, is sucking out any suspense whatsoever. Oh, what happens next? Do they hate him now? Oh, yeah, they do. Okay, but why do they hate him? Oh, we saw some of that already. Okay, I've gotten all the pieces. What am I waiting around to watch? More pieces? Like, fill in the gaps, fine. But, like, I feel like I know the main things that happen, the things that have caused his downward spiral. And then we see his downward spiral, like, oh, okay, I'm good. I've seen two episodes. I know the story. Thanks, and I'm done. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, and that same structure causes the issue of they could have been coming at this from the angle of like, okay, well, maybe you know the story, maybe you know the beginning and the end, but let's just draw out that middle of dread, which I wouldn't have loved. I don't like TV shows or movies or shows that are just like a full, you know everything that's coming, but you're just sitting in the like, oh God, this is terrible. But they're not even doing that because they keep jumping around. There's no, okay, now just watch what unfolds next. Like, you already know the beginning, you already know the end. Sit in this discomfort that you know Truman Capote was feeling. But then they keep jumping around. So I can't understand what their angle is. It's very frustrating. I also don't really want to watch more.
It is well acted. Overall, I will give it that. It's Gus Van Sant directing. And at first I was like, wow, they got Gus Van Sant. Like, cool, this is going to be legit. And I'm just not enjoying it. And I think structurally weird, it's not written in a way that's making me feel like, oh, but at least it's so witty or at least it's so sharp. Mm-hmm. It just feels kind of blah, which I'm very surprised by.
Yeah, agreed. The other thing, like you said, acting is quite well done, but also the production, the like sets and things. I saw an article of, you know, the apartments that they're using and the set dressing that they're using. I mean, it all looks very authentic to the time. There's nothing about, like, I think all of that is really well done. It's just a really pretty shell for like a not great inside. It's not a euphemism. That's not a phrase. Yeah. To use. It's like,
I think style over substance. It might
that's
be what
the
you
one. I was going to say, it's like putting lovely clothes on just like an empty, nope. Let's go with style over substance for sure.
In an empty husk. That could be a saying. Let's make that a saying.
Great. Yeah. Feud, I liked a little bit better, if I may slightly transition. The two docudrama, like biographical docudrama series came out essentially at the same time. Feud, I thought, had a better start than Genius, which is it's an anthology series, and then this season is about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. And the first season of the first episode of Genius started out really slow, and I had the opposite feeling. I didn't want to watch anymore. But then the second and third episode didn't really make it that much better. I mean, it made it a little bit better, and I could see watching more in a way where Feud, I really don't want to. But it was just kind of, it was too on the nose, too straightforward. It felt like I was watching a TV show that was made specifically for history classes and not something that would be, I would want to like sit down and watch as entertainment. It was very like, we took all of the things that like how Malcolm X grew up and how Martin Luther King grew up. Like, look at the similarities, look at the differences. This is what shaped their philosophies. Felt like I was reading like an essay. And I didn't want that.
Yikes.
Yeah. Acting again, like good. I just, the like the substance of the show was not my cup of tea. It was very, it was all, it wasn't anything new. And that could be, if I feel like there are a decent number of people who don't know too much about Malcolm X, but do know a lot about Martin Luther King because of, I feel like at least in our middle school, high school experience, we learned way more about Martin Luther King than Malcolm X. But I happen to live in Boston and like around the Roxbury area where Malcolm X grew up and spent a lot of time. And so I think maybe for that reason, I have more background. Like I went to a play about Malcolm X's upbringing. And so all of the stuff that's in this show, I was like, oh yeah, that's just like, honestly, stuff you could find if you read a Wikipedia article or a biography of Malcolm X. It doesn't feel fresh or new overlaying it with Martin Luther King's background. But I do acknowledge that that is maybe not everyone's experience. And so it could be useful if you are interested in that like time period and also don't know anything about Malcolm X. I'll give it that.
Well, here's a question for you as somebody who has not seen this, will not see this, nor will I watch or have I watched really anything that could potentially be screened in a history class. So what is the difference between your enjoyment of something like this?
Sorry, I was going to say we both seen West Wing. You can't say that you've been...
There's no reason our teacher should have showed that to us instead of teaching us actual government class. But you're right. You knew what I meant. And what's the difference between this and your enjoyment of this compared to like the John Adams miniseries and your enjoyment of that? Like what would you say is like done better in that one, which you did like more from my memory?
That's a great question. And the way you phrased it made me think it was the setup of a joke or like a riddle. So great question. I think for this, I think possibly if this series had been, if there was one about Martin Luther King and one about Malcolm X, that might have made it better in my mind. Like they would have had more time to actually go into more of the character development. And I said this in my review and I didn't say this just now, but that first episode, one of the reasons that I hated it was that it was just sort of like ticking off the boxes. It was like them from age 5, both of them in an hour long episode of television, both of the characters, real people from ages like 5 to 18, and sort of like, here's everything that happened. And the first half of the episode was Martin Luther King. The second half of the episode was Malcolm X, or vice versa. I can't remember which. And it just felt like they were like rushing to get things through. And it seems like every episode after that is sort of, like I said, on the nose. They don't have enough time to dig into more about like, how that really made this person feel in a more of in anything other than like surface level ways. Whereas John Adams, because it's the whole season is about his entire life rather than for in the first episode rushing up to like when he's an adult or whatever. There's so much more about like Abigail Adams and like just things about, I mean, I can understand why people would find John Adams boring too, but to me, it's more interesting to have that insight into the small little bits that biographers have picked up. And then they can sort of like, what is the card out the wool of and make a bigger story out of something that is small that people wouldn't know. And for this series, it feels like there's not enough time to do that. They're focusing on two different people, so they can't really dig in deeply into either of their personal lives. I think I wrote in my review, I would love to hear more about both of their wives. And it seems like they're just going to be supporting characters in this, which like I, if it were just about Malcolm X or just about Martin Luther King, I think there'd be whole episodes on just the two of like Martin Luther King and his wife, Coretta, or Malcolm X and his wife. Like I would love to see a ton more of just the two of them. And it's, there's not enough time for that and they're not doing it that way. So that is why I like something like John Adams better. I don't know if that accurately answered the question or if I just babbled for a minute.
No, that made sense. And I think I think that's kind of what I was assuming was the case, because you said it plays out like reading a Wikipedia article versus something that's maybe taking like a small anecdote and then fleshing that out to be like, oh, like what did that actually feel like in real life? Maybe taking more liberties, but doing that in a way that feels like more substantial. That makes sense completely.
Definitely could be more interesting if they did a John Adams style thing for both of these men or both of their wives. Like, again, would find that super interesting. The only other thing that we haven't talked about, I think, that I've watched, I started Tracker, but I haven't seen the full first episode. I'm wondering if you watched it right after the Super Bowl or this morning.
Oh, I didn't. It was so late.
I know.
Especially with the overtime.
Yeah.
I should do that today. I cannot say I'm excited to watch it. I just thought maybe I would. Are you shaking your head? Tell me why. Well, other than the obvious, but you watched some of it?
I mean, I only watched like 5 minutes of it. I wasn't super excited. I don't know. I only watched 5 minutes, but I just wanted to hear what you thought. But I'll wait until you've actually seen the first episode, and maybe I'll finish the episode and we can actually talk about it. But
yeah,
that
I'll have to give it a chance.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that I watched enough of to talk about is All of One Day, but I'm sure you might have other things before we dive into that, all the spoilers of that whole season.
Let's do that in a second. I wanted to say I watched the first episode of Not Dead Yet. Of season two. Came out, it was right after Abbott. And I think I've said this before, but I was feeling a little bit better about Not Dead Yet at the end of season one, better than I felt at the beginning. And then I watched this first episode and I was back to feeling like, man, this show is just not what I want it to be. And that was a bummer. I'm going to keep watching it and still give it a try. But I felt like it was the same sort of just like not quite as funny as it should be. The jokes that I know they want me to laugh at, I'm just sort of kind of rolling my eyes at. It's a bit of a bummer. That's all I'm going to say about that. I will revisit it either on the newsletter or on the pod when I've watched more of this season. But there was only one episode so far, and I felt disappointed.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I knew that was sort of a maybe, an iffy one for you already. But I have not seen it, so I don't know if I'm going to now after that secondary review.
Yeah, I was like really hoping that it was going to be like a, yay, they did get better and sort of fix the things that I thought were wrong with season one. And this first episode nailed it and everyone should watch it. And it just wasn't that.
Now we can transition into One Day, the one we've both watched all of and have thoughts about, I think.
We can. Cool. So we should tell people that we're going to spoil One Day, the miniseries, also the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, this will also spoil that and the book. So, but I will say you should watch it. You being the listener, will say my like very, very brief non-spoiler review, which is like, I didn't love it. I wasn't over the moon, but I thought it was good. If you like a character driven sort of friends to more kind of heartbreaking relationship story,
romantic
it
drama.
Was good. It wasn't my favorite, but it was good. And watch it and then come back and listen to us chat about it. What do you think, Jenny? Your very quick non-spoiler thoughts.
I had a much more positive experience with it, but I think that's because I maybe like romantic drama. I don't know, actually. I was going to say maybe I like romantic dramas possibly more than you, but I think it was just I went in with relatively low expectations. I remember liking the movie fine, but thinking like, oh, okay, like, this story is not – I already knew what was going to happen. And with this series, I was pleasantly surprised. I really loved the two main actors. I think they brought a lot to it. And if you like romantic dramas, like you're saying, Jess, and like crying, I would say maybe this is a great show for you. Good development.
If you like
good
crying,
cries.
That's
– yeah, sometimes you need a cathartic cry.
I won't begrudge you that. But yes, we will now do spoilers. So spoilers here, spoilers ahead. And let's do it. I didn't cry that much. Am I a heartless robot?
No, the last two episodes are the only times where I even cried a little. But the last two, also, I will say, when I'm on a plane or a train and I'm watching something sad, it ups the ante of whatever the thing is that's sad tenfold. So I don't know if it's like when you're in the plane, it's the elevation, or in the train, it's just the like romance of seeing scenery go past and feeling like you're in a movie yourself and then you're watching something sad. I don't know if this is resonating, but I did watch the last two episodes on a train and I did cry and I felt really awkward because I think I was just trying to hide my face from the person sitting next to me the whole time. But those are the only – I only cried during those two episodes. Did you not cry at all?
I always cry in movies on planes. Just as an aside, I stopped watching anything that wasn't a horror movie on planes because I watched – I will never get over the fact that I watched Moonlight on a plane and like I needed tissues and didn't have them, like snot running down my face. I was on the window seat. It was a whole production of trying to clean myself up and not make loud sob noises. And
yep.
Horror movies only now. No, I cried. No, I didn't cry. I didn't cry. I don't think I cried at all. Jenny, I cry at everything. I don't think believe. I even shed a tear.
Oh, I cried. Yeah, I definitely cried, at least in the somewhere in the last two episodes, for sure.
And I think that this just sort of summarizes my feelings really well, which is that I liked it a lot in terms of, I guess, how much I could like something like this. I think that I liked it on the high end, much more than the movie and much more than the book. And for the listeners, Jenny knows this, but that's starting very low. That's a low bar. Did not like the book or the movie. I liked it. I loved Ambika Maud. I loved Leo Woodall. They were both exceptional.
Yeah.
So good. So good. And also such incredible versions of these characters. Like, just better than the book and the movie.
100%.
And yet I didn't feel it for most of the show. I just, my like heart wasn't there.
Oh.
My heart wasn't in their relationship. And I cannot figure out why. And my best guess is that something with their meeting didn't work for me. I didn't feel it. And so then I never did. I didn't believe it the way that I felt like I should have. And the jump, the way that the story is structured, I think I've always had a problem with this in the previous two versions too, is like you get a lot of sort of like told, not shown. Oh, this is what happened in the year that we haven't seen them. Like they wrote each other letters. Like this is like the big moments that happened in their lives that we didn't see because we only see them once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, so, and that takes me out of feeling things for them and what's going on. I just feel like I'm, get it's just not working for me that they're telling me what's gone on and how they felt about each other in that year. I'm not seeing enough of it.
Yeah, I don't know if that didn't bother me because I thought that the way that they act, like I think they didn't do as much telling, not showing as you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but to me, every time they got back together, they were reacting to a set of things we didn't see. And I felt like that was telling enough. And then they would sort of drop like, oh, well, you know what happened last. I thought what happened was like this or special or whatever. And then they sort of drop crumbs. But until then, I thought it was kind of interesting, even though I've seen the movie and read the book, trying to piece together, wow, what could have happened to make them now be this way with one another, or like almost doing like slight detective work until they do reveal it. And so that didn't bother me as much. I kind of felt like it was almost, yeah, I kind of thought that was well-ish done. Okay, done. I don't know how to – medium rare. But I also thought Ambika Maud and Leo Woodall were perfect versions of these characters. That was my first thought. I don't know that I've ever read or seen Emma as this like sharp when I think it's the perfect way for her to be. Like someone who cuts Dexter down and like – down to his, like, doesn't let him be frilly or frivolous or whatever in front of her, which I think is part of what makes her interesting and like his best friend, is that she sees past all of his show. And I don't know that the Anne Hathaway version of that did that kind of at all. And I don't really remember the book enough, but I just loved her bite. And I think the first episode for me did sort of cement everything. So maybe that is where everything kind of fell apart for you because, and I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's because I have had too many instances like this in my life. Is that too telling? Like the only people that I've ever been in love with have been friends first. And so this meeting of the first day, I was grinning the entire time. Like I could not stop smiling at their sort of like timid but still flirty energy. And it just was reminding me of my own experiences. And I was a little giddy the entire first episode. So definitely different reactions.
Yeah, I didn't see it as that like believable that they like didn't know each other that well, but they were like infatuated with each other. I just like that to me, I was like, but why? You don't know each other. But I'm just like heartless and cynical. So this is why these shows tend to not work for me. To be fair, it's not like I'm saying this one was bad. It's cool that I even gave this one a shot. But it's
First of all, this
is just who I am.
I don't think you are heartless and simple. I do think I agree with you.
Cynical. Oh. Simple. Did you say simple?
I thought that's what you said. I was like, that's a little harsh.
Cynical. Oh my God, no. Thank you for saying, for agreeing with me that I'm not simple. It's just not what I said. But
I thought you meant in like romance wise, not like in like the brain.
just dumb and simple.
No, I think maybe what would have helped, I think I just suspended disbelief for that first, like, they bump into one another and he like catches her eyes and then they're gone. They mention later that they both have seen each other around. I feel like one flashback to them like noticing each other in school or something would have helped. I feel like Emma's character mentions more often that she had a crush on Dexter and like her friends. We get to see her with her friends who are like, oh my God, that's him. That's the dude. That's the guy that you like have noticed. And like, we all know Dexter and he's handsome and like everyone knows who he is. So that infatuation seems obvious on her side, on like Emma's side, because we get all of that information from her friends. And I agree that the Dexter side, we don't really hear from any of his friends except for Emma. And we only get his word for it like many episodes later to say he had actually seen her and had like thought she was cute. But that's about it. So I agree. I can understand why you'd be like, oh, well, why is Dexter all of a sudden like, this is the one, without really knowing her? But aside from that, I felt like all of the buildup after that, I liked and I thought was well done and I believed. But that's because I sort of suspended disbelief in that first bumping shoulders.
Yeah, I did not. But I'm happy to hear it worked for you because I feel like I knew that I was going into it with, I don't know, not the right mindset. I never really do with these sorts of shows. But I mean, I stuck with it, which I think is the biggest sign of like,
oh yeah,
this is good for other people. Like even if I'm not loving this and it's not totally working for me, I found them charming. I thought it was written well for the most part. Like the dialogue was not corny. It was feeling like realistic in a lot of ways. Like I said, I loved Emma. Her character was, I thought, very well written. I like that she was more self-assured, I think, than the Anne Hathaway version.
Yeah.
I think that worked really well, especially contrasted with Dexter, but also gave more believability to like her character just in general and her being friends with Dexter and why she sort of puts up with him. She's very obstinate in general, this version of her. Mm-hmm. And I liked that. And like I said, I liked Ambi Gamad. I also very much appreciated the production of the show. Like Netflix tends to make these like just very, very studio looking, like, oh, this looks like it was filmed on a soundstage and the little lighting is perfect all the time. And it doesn't look like it's really shot on location. It doesn't look like it's really shot anywhere. And this really did. It looked like it was the lighting was beautiful. The locations were part of the show in a way that I liked. And I feel like Netflix often doesn't do.
Yeah, I had the same feeling. Like the contrast, like when they were in Italy, first of all, Italy shots were beautiful. But the just like the feeling of shooting there versus when they were back in sort of like cramped apartments in London or what, like the contrast in the different settings was great. And also just it, yeah, it did not look like they were on a soundstage. There was like one or two moments where I felt that they used, I don't know what the camera vocabulary is, but they used a lot of like focus on Dexter's face and everything else is much more blurred out behind him. There was one episode where they used that maybe one too many times. But that was my only critique and I don't even have the words to critique it properly. So maybe I'll leave that as it is.
Do you mean when he's like dancing and they're like, the camera is sort of like locked onto him focus wise?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I noticed that a couple times, but I kind of liked it. It kind of brought me back to like my Skins watching days. Mm. And I love a British coming of age drama. And maybe that's what also was like sustaining me in this, away from the romance side of it, was just the, I love a British coming of age drama. And the music always slaps in British coming of age dramas. Like
the soundtrack was so good.
So good. So there were so many things that I was enjoying, even when I was like, I don't really care if Dexter and Emma do get together or not. Like, I didn't really care. And I knew the story. And maybe that's why I didn't cry when she, because I just, like, I knew exactly what was going to happen.
You can say it. We said we'd spoiler it.
true. So, like, I know that, like, right after they finally, like, get back together, that she dies. I think the way that they did it sort of sucked out some of the emotion for me. Like, she gets hit. It's a pretty quick cut away. I mean, we see her lying there, but, you know, and blinking. But then it's a cut away. And then again, it's another big jump. And then it's like, okay, here's Dexter dealing with it. But it's not Dexter dealing with it right after. And I think that that would have really gutted me. It's Dexter and his like quiet grief. And it's so powerful. Like the acting is so powerful and he's doing it so well. And I think that there is something really like profound in showing that part of grieving. But like, I think as a person that just like, I cry when I see other people cry, like if he had been sobbing, if he had been devastated, just learning about the accident, like I would have ugly cried. I would have absolutely like sobbed out loud. And I think that just like, because this was done in a much more sort of like subdued way, I felt the emotion, but I, again, just didn't connect enough to these characters to really like feel it.
They definitely put it on simmer. Yeah. Like so the points where I cried were where after his first, he goes on a bender and the first anniversary of Emma's death, he like doesn't want to feel anything. And so he just gets drunk and he gets into fights and he, whatever. And then, he's a mess and his dad and his ex-wife have to sort of pick him back up. And the next year, when the doorbell rings and all of like Emma's friends and family and Dexter's friends and family are around and they're just like, hey, we're here. You can't make a mess of yourself because we're here now and we figured you could use some company. I was like, oh no, I'm going to cry. And then after they all leave, like that moment, I definitely teared up. Just like seeing people be there for one another and thinking like, oh my God, all of these people are also devastated, but they all know how much Dexter must be hurting. I think that got me. And then when he's alone, he like finally goes up and he does start to sob and his dad hears him in his room and like goes up to say something and just lets him have his time to like sob in his bed. And I was like, oh God, this is really gutting. And I did cry then as well. Those are my two points of tears.
I want to be clear for our listeners, because I think you get this, but in case people don't, that I'm not criticizing the show for like not being able to connect with it. This is a me problem, I will say. I think the show was really well done. I don't think it was perfectly done. I mean, I still think like structurally, it's the book really, but structurally, I don't think this story is the easiest one to connect with because of the gimmick of the one day every year. But I think that the show certainly did the best version of it. I think the casting was great. I think that the performances were incredible. The coming of age, the soundtrack, the lighting and the mood really like heightened all of the coming of age like drama feelings. So I want to give this like a positive review. I wanted to end on like, I liked it. Here are the things I liked about it. I'm a hater to my core. Nice read, Jess. Like, no, about this book, okay. About this story. No, I'm not a hater in general, but like, if you knew me in ninth grade, you did. But if anyone else did, they would know. Like, the fact that I even watched this whole thing and I'm like giving it a mostly positive review is like pretty crazy.
Whereas I feel like I've been a yearny romance girl, as much as I would like to not be, since probably my youth. So, you know, like the end of Green Gables gets me every time. Something like this, especially when it's well done. The movie, like I said, didn't get me that. And the book was fine. But this, something about the way that this series was done hit me in all the right places of the just like, oh God, when you're young and you love someone and you can't figure out how to say it and you can't figure out the right time and it seems like you don't want to make a fool of yourself and you don't want to ruin a friendship and you also just like nothing is happening the way that you were hoping, but you're still holding on to some thread. Like all of that together for me, when it's done even remotely well, works. But I can understand why. I can totally understand why it doesn't for some people. But that kind of thing just sort of is a little bit of kryptonite for me. So if you're at all in my neck of the woods, hopelessly romantic about things like that, especially friends to lovers, which is, I don't like the word lovers, but that is essentially what this trope is, a tragic friends to lovers story, then this is for you.
I think it's more tragic than it needs to be, though. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, I hated the book ending. I hated the movie
ending.
You
just don't want her to die.
I never liked this ending. It's so jarring and hurtful in a way that is real life. Yeah, but like, I don't need that in my entertainment. And I think I kind of, when I read the book, I remember I hated it so much because, I mean, I was so emotionally ill-equipped to deal with that. I mean, it wasn't that the book was bad. I hated how sad the ending made me. Like, let's be honest. I don't know if I've ever admitted that before. I was so angry at it. And I think that over time, you know, you grow up and you're like, no, yeah, like that did is unfortunately just that's life. But I stand by that I don't need that. I don't need to watch that. It's tough because sometimes, you know, you need that to further a story or whatever. But to me, that's this whole story is like, here's the will they, won't they, here's that they finally get together. And like, just kidding, life sucks. Like, and I'm not, why? I don't want that.
Yeah. It's very much I mean, it underscores, I'm not going to like defend the why, because I also, it's very sad, but it definitely underscores the feeling that I feel like a lot of people have of like, oh, I've wasted so much time. Like I could have just admitted earlier. But then you think back on Emma and Dexter's story and you're like, no, they couldn't have. They were like in different places. It would not have worked until it worked. And yeah, there were maybe like some key moments where you're like, oh, Dexter's being an idiot or Emma's being obstinate. Whereas if they had just talked about it, maybe they could have been happier for longer. And not that like maybe if they'd gotten together earlier, she wouldn't have been hit by a bus or a car or whatever. But it's just like that feeling of they could have had more time. And then you realize they had all the time. It was just they didn't have time together romantically. But I feel like that's why, is to make you reflect on that feeling of like regret and wishing you had done things differently and then realizing, oh no, everything was exactly as it had to be and like you couldn't have changed it. And also Dexter and Emma's relationship was really beautiful regardless. I don't know. Still very sad.
If you had to recommend like one or two other similar sort of vibe shows, like maybe like a tragic, well, it doesn't even need to be tragic, a sort of like romance drama, what would you recommend? Is it Normal People? I feel like everybody says Normal People.
No, that one's so depressing. I mean, this one's okay. Listen, maybe that was the wrong thing to say. That one is depressing vibes all the way through. This one, I would say, on the whole, you've got hope until the very end. Yeah, it's not normal people. Although it does have that same yearning. I don't know. I almost think I need to think on this a little bit and get back to you.
Well, you'll have the opportunity to write it up this week. I assume that that will be
what Do you have an answer write? To this? Yeah. Do you? Was your answer
no? I don't watch these. I was looking for a recommendation. A if I'm going to try to stop being a cynical, heartless person.
I will come up with something. I'll put it in the newsletter. I wanted to know on the, as a final end note for this, what would you give this? What's your rating for this show? Knowing that it's not for you, but that you still watched
the whole
thing.
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
And I stand by that. Like it was, I didn't connect with it the way that I wanted to, so I can't give it higher, but it had so much going for it in terms of execution that that's as high as I can do.
Yeah, I think that's super reasonable. Cool. If you are interested in knowing what shows I choose to compare one day to, definitely check out our newsletter. It'll come out this Thursday. And you can find that on doubletake.substack.com, dbltake.substack.com. In the meantime, if you liked this episode and or any of our episodes, maybe give us a review on Spotify or Apple. We would love it. Is there anything else in my little sign-off, Jess, that I'm forgetting?
No, I think that's it. So we'll just catch everyone next time. Thanks for listening.